So, the moment I've been waiting for, well, there's several, but this moment of this particular morning, I received information from Reverend Kathy yesterday that she was not going to be able to be here today. She needs some rest. Imagine that. Imagine Reverend Kathy needing rest. I think she's about one battery low, but mis-energized rabbit, she always says. But that's good. I mean, we've been at this a couple of years now, and nonstop pretty much for Reverend Kathy. So it's the perfect time, the perfect day, the month of love to reach out and to have Reverend Christine, who presenting her talk, The Power of the Invitation, is just, I have God bumps. And her talk, The Power of the Invitation, speaks, I'm certain, to what is happening and has happened for all of us today. So, friend, colleague, ordained minister, known you for many years. It's a long relationship called love. So, let's welcome Reverend Christine.
With a second, Mr. Love. Thank you, Reverend Michael. No accidents, perfect timing. One of the things that I want to talk about this morning is making someone happy. The title of my talk is The Power of the Invitation. And I didn't put on my glasses, and I want to. So there is something for me, I was feeling it this morning as I was getting ready, because I spoke last week at a center in Circle's Edge in Center for Spiritual Living in Reno. You know, so last week I had the experience of preparing for my talk, going up there, getting up in the morning, getting ready, just kind of, and doing it and feeling energy around it. But this morning was a completely different thing. And so I was asking myself, first of all, well, what's that about? Well, the answer, that's a no-brainer. And so historically, many different things started going through my mind that are memories. And even though some of those memories in terms of what I was experiencing in the moment were challenging and not necessarily comfortable, that period of being very uncomfortable, it was here. So I said, okay, so that's, you know, that's the sum of the energy that fuels my desire to be here, my joy to be here, my excitement. And the other thing that keeps coming to my mind is just keep it simple and stay with what my message is. Otherwise, we'll be here, and that's not going to happen. So, in speaking today about the power of the invitation, when I did a little bit of research about the power of the invitation, I came across a saying that meant a lot to me, and it is, the power of an invitation is a moment in time that can shift the outcome of a relationship with ourselves, with another, And the power of the invitation is also a moment in time that can shift the consciousness, the totality, the collective consciousness of the Center for Spiritual Living, CHICO. And the energy that goes out, that radiates out from this community. Because, as you may have heard, we are one. There's only one life. That life is God. That life is good. That life is my life now. And as I say that, that is so for every person, place, or thing, including the entire planet, including the entire solar system, the universe, and if there are other universes, it includes that as well. So the power of the invitation is a very, very powerful thing. But a lot of times we don't realize it. We don't realize maybe we're not aware or not ready for the invitation that Spirit is extending through us. Maybe we're not ready to extend an invitation in a variety of ways in our realm of experience. And so I ask you to take a moment to just think about and be aware of how you got here. Whether it was recently or long ago. What were the things that lined up in your life that you said yes to? And every one of us and many other people that are not here today have their story around that. And it's a powerful story. It's an amazing story when you really look at it. I know that it is. So last night I was talking with my mom, and many of you know my mom, Grace, or of her. Amazing Grace is definitely, that's her subtitle. And so I was, you know, I was just telling her a little bit about my talk, and she said to me, "Okay, well, I can tell that you're really excited about this, Christine." So she said, "Don't try to be too charming. Don't try to be too witty or too intellectual. Just be yourself." I mean, I was going right along with it, you know, like, yeah. Okay. Well, it's my mom. And it's okay. But one of the things that it did make me realize is that when we're in a relationship with a spiritual community or a practitioner or a minister, or even in relationship with something that we are reading and embodying, that relationship that can change everything can hold the idea that we are more than who we think we are. And for me, if that were not the case, through this teaching, through my mentors, through the one who invited me, who obviously saw something greater in me than I was seeing in myself, well, there you go. But the thing is that we are here to duplicate the nature of Spirit. We are always, to the degree that we accept who we are always duplicating the nature of Spirit, and there is always more, because Spirit is infinite. And while that inner call is knocking from within, we have choice to accept it, right? All the time. Signs and symbols and wonderful, amazing things are going on in all of our lives all of the time. But the question is, are we seeing it? So I'm here today in this reciprocal nature of spirit because the invitation was made, and I'm going to tell you in a moment how that happened, but I accepted it. So I was living in Paradise, and it was sometime in the early 1980s, and I was going through a very trying time in my life, and I had a girlfriend, and her name was Kathy, and she went to the church, and she had two little children. That was part of our relationship because I had two small children, and she was in the choir, and Byron Thomas was not doing the choir at that time, but Dr. John McEwen and Dr. Carolyn McEwen Fish were the ministers. And so we were driving down the street, and she, you know, and I was always whining about what was going on in my life, and I thought, well, I had plenty to whine about, and that was my consciousness. And where I'm driving, she's in the car, I remember this like it was yesterday, and she said to me something to the effect of, you know, what you're thinking about and what you're talking about becomes your experience. And in an instant, I felt like I had some kind of a brainwave on my head, and it went doing. And I was changed. And she said, there's this really cool redheaded minister over there, and I think you should go and talk to her. And so I did. Yeah, I know. We all know who she is. But she told me don't talk about her because, you know, she said, oh, they just get sick and tired of hearing about me. So anyway, lest I digress. So I went. The power of the invitation. I didn't go to Sunday service first. I went for an appointment. And what happened, because I had accepted the invitation, was that for the first time in my life, I had an experience of being seen. Being seen not only maybe for my potential, but I would venture to say that at that moment, in that appointment, then I was seen for the discomfort I was experiencing. I was seen in the feelings that I talked about. I was listened to. Compassion was extended. I was seen just as I was. And the false beliefs and the things that I thought about myself were, I had so many more opinions about myself than opinions that other people had about me. And life took a U-turn. And it wasn't always pleasant for me. And it wasn't always pleasant for my teachers. And it probably wasn't always pleasant for my friends. But I kept accepting the invitation. Now, you know, there's this place of our growth, of our spiritual growth and our unfoldment, that we want to give all the appreciation and all the accolades to someone else, to our teachers, to our mentors, to others that we think are so much further along on the path, whether it's spiritually or further along educationally or further along financially or further along in any area of our life. But I was reminded every time I did that, that I was the one who had made the choice to show up, to do the work, to cry it out, to whine it out, but ultimately to accept that I was more than I thought that I was. So I want to suggest three things to us to keep in mind here that I'll refer to. I can't see the clock, but in the time that I have left. And that is, I'm supposed to read that? That is the call, the invitation for us to step up our game, to number one, be more intentional. To number two, be more inclusive in our invitations. And number three, to go beyond our comfort zone. So when I look around this room, I see kind of a median age range. I see a lot of light-colored skin looking back at me. I see some diversity. I don't see a lot. Now, some of you know that for the last 5.5 years, I worked for our Centers for Spiritual Living home office in Golden, Colorado. And I've completed with them as of December the 31st. But in my role, which was primarily working with Centers for Spiritual Living affiliated communities that were in transition, that were in change, that were having problems, I got to handle all the problems. And I had to keep affirming, I know there are healthy, you know, growing, empowered centers with good leadership, while I got to deal with the problems. And one of the things that I saw in that role that I started asking myself about and questioning was, why are these people so hell-bent on things staying the same? What is it when we have this inclusive teaching, this idea that God is all there is, that God is the mountaintop, but there are many paths to that mountain? What is it that keeps us from being more inclusive, from reaching out into our communities, our friends, people maybe that are not our friends? What is it that keeps us from extending an invitation to this community? Now, I'm not here to preach about that, preach as in tell you what to do. What I'm sharing with you is that this is something on my heart right now. This is something that I'm asking myself a lot. And so in asking myself about that, I ask myself, what keeps me from extending an invitation to someone that doesn't look like me, to someone that doesn't think like me. Now, I could get very specific in terms of things that I find unacceptable, or maybe somebody that I wouldn't want to sit next to when I come to service, or when I come to a class, or when I come to an event. But I'm asking, I am saying, what would it be like, Christine, if you went beyond your comfort zone? What would it be like if you reached out and extended an invitation with no attachment to the outcome? Zero. Because what happened to me in an invitation was that I was seen. Now let me share with you something else. Many of you know that I applied for the position of senior minister about a year and a half ago. It was close, but I wasn't chosen. So I extended an invitation. Did I whine about it a little bit? Did I have feelings about it? Yeah. But you know what? What you think of me is none of my business. My business is what I think about me. Your business is what you believe about yourself, because Spirit is extending the invitation to you all the time to step in to something greater. But we forget to be intentional, aware, to really slow down and look and listen. How is Spirit giving me an invitation to be more? And a lot of times it's simply through our desires. I heard a snippet of a TED talk on NPR radio when I was going home from the dance studio the other night. And the man's message, I have to listen to the whole thing, was money can make you happy. But his message around that, it's not money itself, it's what you do with your money. Because we want to help other people. We want to extend invitations to other people. We want to make other people happy. But that means we need to see them and accept them right where they are, and say, hey, I care about you enough. I see you. That, you know, I have this really awesome spiritual community where all are accepted, where God is inclusive, where there is no judgment, where we believe that heaven and hell is a state of mind. Would you like to come and join me sometime? It's really a friendly place. No attachment to whether they say yes or no or whatever. But you gave them a gift right there. You saw them. You said, I want to share with you something that is important to me. You mean enough to me. You mean enough to me to share with you something that I care about. Now, back a couple of months ago or so, I got a text from Reverend Kathy Fernandez, not the Kathy that I told you about earlier. And she asked me to lunch. And I thought, And so, you know, we met and we chatted. And toward the end of our conversation, she said, you know, we're family. And I would hate to think of you not coming to the center because you feel uncomfortable. And so I just want you to know that you are so welcome, that it would make a lot of people happy to have you there. that you make a difference. And anything you want to do, you want to teach class, you want to speak, you want to give workshops, you want to do nothing, whatever you want to do. Now that's an invitation. And that's why I'm here. I have to admit, I felt a little, leave it at that. Oh. All right. Brian Cutchell gave leadership tips called The Power of an Invite. And when he's talking about a spiritual center or church and what initially brought you to church, here are his statistics. 6 to 8% walked in by their own initiative. 2 to 3% liked a program that was offered. 8 to 10% liked the pastor or minister or ministers. 3 to 4% had a need that was met by the church. 1 to 2% knew of or heard from a friend ideas of what we believe. 3 to 4% were attracted by a youth program. 70 to 85% were invited by a friend or a family member or an acquaintance. How many of you were invited by a friend, an acquaintance, family member? Yeah, kind of. Now, I've asked that question a number of places, and I've gotten a lot more hands on that one. How many of you walked in on your own initiative cold? Wow, I'm impressed. Not my experience. But something was communicated to you, right? Maybe the invitation was an ad. Maybe it was a live stream video. I mean, who knows what it was. Your invitation, the invitation that Spirit is making to you to be intentional, the invitation that Spirit is making to you to be more inclusive. That could be out in the world. It could also be more inclusive about parts of yourself that haven't been invited yet into the totality of your being. Accepted, listened to, heard. When I talk about duplicating the nature of Spirit, Spirit is always saying yes, right? Spirit is not judging any part of my thinking. In the article in Living the Science of Mind called Thinking Affirmatively, Dr. Holmes says the choice part of us is only 6 to 8%. That it's the rest of our consciousness that, and in act to be more specific, it's what we're not conscious of. If we're not being intentional, if we're not being inclusive, and if we're not going out of our comfort zone, it is the sum total of what we're not conscious of that is directing us along our path and making the decisions. And it's our habits. It's our patterns of thinking that began to be established in infancy and even before, because he says that we came into this life already with patterns. You know, that's the living eternally. Because the kitty passed on, because Headley passed on, they're still living. They're having awareness. they are going to have choices and be able to choose. And the more we have evolved spiritually, the greater we increase the percentages that we will make those choices with. So what if we care if we extend an invitation? I read this article in the News and Review about this very well-known homeless man that died recently. And the respect that people had for this man, but he opened Duke's Liquor every morning and took care of that need and the paper. And he said, I'm making a choice. And this is the choice that I choose to make. Well, Spirit's not judging him, so why would I? But we're confronted out there by all kinds of things that make us feel uncomfortable. So what if we just went beyond our comfort zone and stepped a little bit more fully into somebody's life that makes us feel uncomfortable? What if? Again, I'm asking rhetorically. I'm not preaching to you. And this is something that I'm really, really curious about right now. And I'm, you know, this is mine to do. We are invited to go beyond our comfort zone. There's a Sufi story of a man who was so distraught about things that were happening in his world. I mean, he was so distraught. He was down by the river. He was on his hands and knees. He was crying. He was pounding the ground. And he was saying, God, why don't you do something? Now you know where I'm going. And God spoke to him in his own mind as his own voice. I did. I sent you. I've been sent to accept invitations and to extend invitations all the time. All the time. The question is, am I seeing them? Sure, there are some that we can't avoid. There are some that come in uncomfortable experiences and knock us over. It's okay. You know, you will know what to do. Ask. Trust yourself. Trust yourself in extending the invitation. Trust yourself in extending an invitation and let go of the outcome. When Moses was given the invitation from the mountaintop, meaning his higher realm of consciousness, to lead the people, what did he say? Who, me? You gotta be kidding. I can't even hardly speak. I have a speech impediment. I have something to do on Sunday. It's too hard. And God said, yes, you. Wow. Now that's an inspiration. To lead the 40,000 people through the valley of whining and crying and saying, but you promised me something better, and when do we get our stuff, and when do I get my promotion, and when do we get more money, and when are you going to feed me, and when are you going to take care of my needs? Oh my gosh, the stories of what he had to put up with. We have nothing. We've got no issues. I think that's part of the, you know, the beauty of these stories. It puts things into perspective for us. We're the chosen. For this community, for this time, for the teaching of the science of mind, for the community of Chico, for the world. We're the chosen ones. It's ours to do. So the question is, what do you think of yourself in terms of all of that? In every moment, in every nanosecond, we are either connecting or we're turning away. We're either repelling the invitations or we are receiving them. When I accepted the invitation from my girlfriend, Kathy, to go and talk to the redheaded minister, I didn't know the good that was in store. I didn't know the changes. But what I can tell you along the way is that as I got into my comfort zone, I started growing quickly in ways I couldn't have even imagined. I began to love to challenge myself. I began to realize that most of the things that I was afraid of and thought about myself were not true. They were fiction. And it was up to me to accept something better. You will replace regret with excitement for the future. You'll find out more about your strengths and your weaknesses, and believe me, they go together. You can't have one without the other. You'll boost your self-confidence, which means you're less attached to the outcome. You'll create a new source of satisfaction in your life, and that is that when you knock at the Spirit's door, in your own quiet contemplative moments, that the door will always open and the door will always express to you in some way, my beloved, I am so well pleased by you. So thank you for letting me share. Letting me share with you some of the things that I'm considering, some of the things that I'm feeling uncomfortable about, and that I'm extending the invitation. And I'd love to talk with you sometime, any of your thoughts about this idea of the power of the invitation, and hear your story. Namaste.